96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Hello and welcome once again to Guardian Radio AM in the morning. Again, this is CA Nearing. It's December 20th and it's like a 5-day countdown to Christmas. So in order to continue our conversation with Christmas, we have Dr. Suzanne Lockhart, who is here to discuss health and wellness during the Christmas period, during the Yuletide season period, right? And mind you, I have one or two questions, a list of questions I wanted to ask her. What should we be doing during the Christmas season to stay healthy? But on my way here, I noticed a trend that my wife been seeing it. We have noticed as a family, as a unit, that there are a number of young men, young Bohemian men. When I say young, that means they're younger than 40. After 45, I say, yeah, you're a mature Bohemian man, right? Young Bohemian men who seem to be having some mental issues. And I passed along, that was Wilfred coming here to the Guardian radio station for Guardian Radio for this morning. And I saw a long line at Bishop Hanschel's place of young men who are going through some things, right? And I said, that's a mental issue. This is an epidemic we are facing inside the Bahamas. This is a concern that we need to address now. And I know that the government has started a number of initiatives regarding mental health and mental health awareness, not demonizing persons who are having issues in this life, giving them avenues. I see that there are a number of psychiatrists and psychologists are doing the rounds because I assume they too have noticed a trend, an uptick. A number of persons who are doing or going through some challenging times. But I want to talk about that whilst we talk about going to Christmas. And I'm going to start my conversation with Dr. Lockhart regarding, should we be concerned during Christmas of people's mental health? I know COVID took a number of persons. This is going to be their first, a number of persons would be their first year celebrating without their loved ones. Right? How challenging is that? Especially if your mom or dad has transitioned, right? Your first Christmas. Who bakes the turkey? Do you want ham and turkey? Do you even want a Christmas present during this time? Right? But let me just further ado, let me speak to Dr. Lockhart and find out her professional opinion on such, right? Mental health during the Christmas. And of course, we can talk about boosting immunity, viral infections, diet and exercise, and what we can do to enjoy our festive meals and stay healthy, because that's important, right? So without further ado, Doc, go ahead.
So hi, good morning, CN, good morning, Bahamas. It's so nice to be here.
1 minute, Doc, I'm not able to hear you on the mic. Producer, see if you can make sure she can hear it. Go ahead, test it again.
Hello.
Yes, much
glad
better.
You're hearing now. Good. Yes. So good morning. It's great to be here this morning. As you said, 5 days before Christmas, a very joyous and festive occasion. And I think for many people, this is sort of like the Christmas to remember, because we're coming out of lockdowns, out of pandemics, out of Dorian. So this may be the first Christmas in a while that we don't have a big background of something, you know, happening. I mean, there's the war in the Ukraine, but, you know, we like, well, Europe got that. We'll pray for them right now. But that's not immediately on our back step. But the first point you mentioned about mental health, see, it is so key. And what you're saying is really and truly what we have been noticing for a period of time. I came back over to the Bahamas in 2018, 2019, and essentially what I noted was that every corner, you know, because the people who have issues, you know, we may call them Joneses, but whether they have addictions, issues of addiction or issues of mental health, they normally hang on a corner so that they can, you know, ask people for donations and money, panhandle. Yes, that's the right term. And what I notice is that you have not just the older ones who are like, you know, in their 60s, the old ones that you're accustomed seeing, but you have young ones. And I've been going some places with my kids and my daughter, and I'd say, my God, that boy doesn't look as if he's 20 years old, isn't he? And he's moving, he's itching, he's scratching. scratch. And so I think what you're seeing there are a couple of things. We need to pay more attention to mental health of a lot of people. I think recently there was a gentleman, the guy who in the U.S., the guy who was the DJ on Ellen DeGeneres' show, mm-hmm. a guy who was a dancer and a DJ and a radio and
personality.
But a fellow called Twitch Boss, Stephen Twitch Boss, I think was his name. He went to a hotel and he put a gun to his head and took his life. And everybody was like, wow, you know.
Why? He had everything going for him.
He seemed to have. He didn't have no financial issues. Had a beautiful wife, big house, thing that we would consider that people would need to make them happy. But it just goes to show you that mental health is real. And there was something I shared this morning with some people. It said that people don't fake being depressed. They fake being okay.
They fake that they're okay.
You know, they put on a good face. If somebody, you look at someone and they're looking depressed or they're looking down or, you know, it's probably not a faking thing or something that they are pretending.
So I want to pause you right there. If you see your colleague, your family, friend, someone you associate with looking depressed, you say more likely they're not faking that. Something is wrong.
Yeah, something is wrong. Most of the time, when people are bright and they put on, you know, the Christmas headbands with the antler, that you know, the Santa Claus, the little things spooking up, and they enter the Christmas spirit, that's more likely a pretense sometimes it can be. And as you listed, there are several reasons as to why people may have those feelings. I'll be honest with you, that's the case for myself. Both my father died earlier this year in Trinidad. My husband died last year. Mm-hmm. So now it's Christmas without both my dad and my husband. And that's rough. You know, that could be a rough situation. So you have to, you know, acknowledge first of all. I think the first thing is to acknowledge first of all that you're having an issue. That, okay, yeah, I'm feeling sad. And why? Identify that and say, okay, now that I've acknowledged that, what's my coping skills? What's my coping mechanism? So it may be that I decide I'm going to walk more. I'm going to try to get some more rest. I'm going to try to, you know, talk more. If I find that those things are not working, the next step is, okay, I need to maybe reach out to someone. And, you know, for help. Now, reaching out to someone for help does not mean you're necessarily going to go stand up outside Sunderland's or go outside the psychologist's office at 2 a.m. and say, open up, I need to talk to somebody inside of here. And I will say this, there's still such a stigma over mental health, right? Bahamians will tell you, oh, you don't need therapy. You just need some prayers to get them demons out. That's
demons. I have a young friend who mentioned, no, it's not demons. So I can understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, people say that, you know, it's a demon because we tend to roll in that way. And I'm not telling you that I believe health, it has many aspects, it including a spiritual aspect, very important, an emotional aspect, very important. But at the same point in time, the same way we acknowledge, like for yourself, you did a great article. A great article was done on you, and I'm advertising CA a bit, you know, about the inside face of sugar or diabetes. You had a great write-up in the Guardian newspapers a day or so ago. But the same way it is, people don't look at you and tell you that's demons inside your pancreas, CA. Mm-hmm. That's them demons that's affecting you. The same way people don't look at you and say that it is a chemical imbalance. Your body, your pancreas, enough insulin. And as a result, you have physiological and physical manifestations of that issue. Well, with people who have mental illness, their neurons and the parts of their brain do not produce adequate or balanced amounts of dopamine or adrenaline, acetylcholine, gabapentin, right? These are the neurotransmitters, right? And as a result of that imbalance of a neurotransmitter function, you're going to have, again, physical and certain psychological manifestations.
So let's bring it back home to Christmas, right? We know that a number of persons tend to get depressed during this time.
Yeah, you do.
Right? What can they do to cope? What should friends and family look for that?
And as I said, especially we've had our own issues with people taking their lives, especially the young men. So you, first of all, should look and see, and maybe there's someone you can reach out to. Not everybody who is a good counselor necessarily has a degree or a shingle put out. There are some people who are in the neighborhood. You can talk to them, maybe an aunt, an older person. Your friend who you know normally is your good girl or your good boy who you know will have an ear for you. And you can sit down, you can talk about that with them. If that still is not working, then, you know, seek help. I have here the Bahamas Crisis Center, and they call themselves the Crisis Center. It used to be the Women's Crisis Center back in the day. Yes. But I really wish to commend, you know, the counselors and the people who work there, Dr. Nubia Carter and all the other people. I know I'm leaving people's names out. But they have a helpline. It's 328-0922. 328-0922. And it's a 24-hour helpline. Mm-hmm. So if you find that you're feeling down, you feel as if, you know, you don't want to talk to anybody about it, nobody will understand you, you can pick up a phone and call, and they're serious. They're good for this. I know this. I've worked with them for over a period of years. You know, sometimes, especially after when my husband died, I myself sought counseling because I realized, you know, with the three kids and with all the responsibilities, I needed some help to, you know, if your car breaks down on the road and you have to take it to the mechanic, nobody going to say to you, why you carry it to the mechanic? You should be able to deal with that yourself.
So you're saying counseling is a good thing?
It's a good thing.
Something that should be sought after.
Yes, it should be sought after. And counseling, I would tell you, is not something that you should do only when there is an issue. You should be able to identify a team around yourself of people. So you're not, no man is an island, no woman either. You should be able to identify around yourself of who do I go to when I have an issue. You know, if I have issues with my marriage or my relationships, is this the person I'm going to approach? Who am I going to go to when I have those issues? And it shouldn't always just be when there's a problem, but there should be someone you should play your life before and say, you know, something, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. What do you think? Come to me. What do you think about that? And so that person could sometimes help you chart a path so that you don't end up in a problem. You know, they could say to you, know, listen, you're planning to do all these things for Christmas. I hear you going to buy all these dresses and buy all these presents and go to all these parties. You can run up on bricks, you know.
That can cause stress.
Yeah, your mommy just died, or your father just died, or your significant other just died. You're really not feeling the best. You know, maybe you should choose one or two of those functions that you really want to go to. Mm-hmm. Choose one or two people you really want to give something to, and other than that, rest up yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't try running all over the place making merry because the season is festive and light, you're going to end up in an issue. Mm. And then after that, now what happens, you see? So you tend to find, though, say that women normally tend to do that naturally. You know, if I have some issues, I'm not feeling too good, I know a couple of girlfriends who I normally will call. Mm-hmm. They don't even live in this time zone. One of my best friends is in the UK. So normally she's either calling me 2 o'clock in the morning, my time. And she will talk because she understands me. She knows my history. And I'd say to her, I'd say, girl, her name is Susan as well. I say, Susan, what do you think about this? So and so and so and so. And she would tell me what she believes. She'd say, you know, look at this and look at that. You know, you're feeling like this. And I always feel so much better. I feel energized when I come back from talking with her. And I feel as if I have a part and a way forward. So women tend to do that more. You know, we sit down, we talk, we do things better. And for men are not tend to feel as if, okay, I got to have it. I'm the macho man. I got to have the answers. You know, ain't nobody want to see no crying man wrong here.
No.
But men take that out in different ways, too. They socialize, but sometimes, you ever walked around at 10 o'clock in the morning, you walked around the bars in the Baintown?
Yes.
You went around the web shops and the betting shops, and I'm not saying those are not business establishments and they're not serving a purpose, right? I'm not coming against them, but I'm saying that those are some of the ways that men would choose to socialize. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those are addictive, could set up patterns of addiction. Doesn't mean every time you stop in the shop and have a cold one or you go and, you know, play a number, it means that, you know, you're addicted in one way. But many people who have those issues or who have those tendencies, those are the places they go to deal with. And those are maladaptive coping mechanisms. You're going to end up in a wrong, you're going to end up in a problem.
Yes.
Right?
So that's what we look out for. We'll have people look out for signs of depression and that they can help their friends and colleagues and help them talk things out or have them recommend or seek professional help in general.
Yeah, or you call the number, you know, yes. You call that crisis center number if you don't want to really talk about it. Because what I'm saying, you know, in the Bahamas, I've heard that said many times by some friends and relatives, oh, you don't need no therapy because me and all my kids are in therapy. I'll tell you after what happened with us. And I recommend that for everyone. They say, oh, we don't do therapy in the Bahamas. I say, but you and your car break down, you take it to the mechanic and fix it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have diabetes and insulin, I am due for that. You go and you get your medication, you go see the doctor. Mm-hmm. In the same way, mental health is just another component of your health. Mm-hmm. So if your brain is broken down, when my brain is broken down, I need to say, okay, who is the brain people, fixer people here? Yes. And I go to talk to them. And we just should not be a stigma surrounding that. I really and truly think we need to lose that stigma. And we need to let people know it's okay. Good. And it's okay to go and to, you know, and we all have challenges and we need help in some way.
So let's pivot here and talk about boosting one's immunity during the Christmas season. How does one do that? Why is it important to boost?
Well, I think what is going to end up happening, and, you know, people talked about, when you read the news in the U.S., you know, and sometimes I just don't read it because I say, oh, Lord, how much more things, you know, but you do have to be informed a bit about what is happening. When they tell you, you know, the hospitalizations are peaking and they're running out of this, they're running out of that. At the Christmas season, number one, it's colder, a bit colder, right?
We have a cold front coming this weekend.
Yeah, there's a cold front coming this weekend. So that, you know, and we are very blessed because we don't normally need to go and get jacket. We normally just need to get one long sleeve sweater with a high neck, a turtleneck or something, or put on two coats. Mm-hmm. In the U.S., you have to look for many more. And coldness sometimes may tend to slow your systems of your body down, including affecting your immune system as well, too. So people are going to be gathering more. They're going to be shopping more. They're going to be in closer proximity to other people more than maybe they've been for the last couple of years or so. So therefore, it's going to be easier for you to transfer and transmit other things. So that's one situation. That's the reason why immunity. So the same way, you have to make sure you get enough of rest, first of all.
So rest is important.
Rest is very important for resetting your, not only your mentally, but also your immune system as well. You know, when you rest, you get enough adequate rest. You get enough of good food. And good food, I always tell people you have to eat the rainbow. And I know that when you're busy running and rustling, the chicken stick, quickest thing to get might be the chicken in a bag, or so maybe carry carry an apple, or carry a little pot of yogurt, carry a granola bar, something with you, and make a concerted effort to say, okay, at least you will have one good meal a day. You know, there are many parties with lots of things that are sweet, and all the festive foods are there, the ham, the turkey, the macaroni, and every time you go, we have a certain way we celebrate. We love food and we celebrate with food. So I would tell you, have some of everything, but don't overdo it, you know.
So this Christmas, make sure there's a lot of green on your plate, no matter what you eat.
Yeah, make
leave
sure.
Leave a section.
Leave a section, you know, and normally, you know, maybe eat coleslaw. Make sure before, if you know you have a big dinner going to like a nice fancy restaurant or something like that, oh Lord, don't wait hungry. Don't go there hungry.
Don't go to any restaurant hungry.
No, you go hungry, you're going to eat everything inside that you see, especially the things you like the best. So maybe eat a salad, you know, have a good drink, have a nice shake or something like that. Do a smoothie before you go. And a smoothie doesn't have to be a fancy thing. It could just be milk and a banana with some cinnamon in it. That's a smoothie. And do that, put that in a blender and make that up as well too. And those are some of the things you do. So you eat a very nice and a very good system. You eat a very good system of having that nicely rounded, as we said, all the different colors that you can eat. Get out in the sunshine as much as you can. Get out in the sunshine.
So now it looks like we got to do a list. First, you said rest.
Rest.
Then you said eat the rainbow. Right?
Eat the rainbow.
Which is mostly the green stuff, the red stuff.
Greens, reds, blues, those, right? Okay.
And now you're saying...
Get out in the sunshine.
Get out in the sunshine.
Yeah, when you get out in the sunshine, first of all, sunshine encourages increased levels of vitamin D. When sunshine hits your skin, the cholesterol in your skin, it converts it into vitamin D. And it also helps with your production of your chemical called serotonin, which is your happy chemical in your brain.
Right? Oh, so sun makes you happy?
Yeah, it helps you. It makes you happy. That's why when, you know, people, they talk about something called seasonal affective disorder, the SAD syndrome. And it's actually a syndrome that people suffer in places where you don't have a lot of sunlight. You know, because what happens when the darkness, you have decreased levels of serotonin being produced in your brain. Serotonin is your happy, feel-good chemicals, one of them at any rate. And when you're in the sunshine, not only do you get vitamin D, but you also get that serotonin boost, which is going to help you as well. And that helps boost your immune system also tremendously. Some level of exercise, okay? We're not talking necessarily about you going in the gym and suiting up and everything, but walking half an hour a day, taking the stairs instead of, you know, the elevator, making a concerted effort. If you have a pair of handheld weights, have a simple pair of two-pong weights, and it takes 5 minutes to do a all-wrong sort of exercise plan in the morning.
So I pause you there. So if you have stairs instead of using the elevator as part of your regimen during the Christmas time, consider walking up the stairs to your office.
Yeah, and if you know you had the Christmas lunch, you had two servings of turkey and macaroni, walk one more flight.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
yeah, just, you know, just find ways of compensating for that. So things that you can actively and actually do, which are going to be helpful to you, right? So that's something else you want. You want to drink more water, fluids, you know, at Christmas.
You know it's Christmas.
Yeah, we have plenty of things we're drinking now, right? In pretty bottles and with nice tops and stuff.
Yes.
But you need to drink water, especially as you are working and doing stuff and eating, because water is important. Water helps to fuel the body. It helps to hydrate the cells. By the time you started feeling thirsty, you're already 5 to 10% dehydrated, right?
Hold on, let me understand what you said. So if I'm start feeling thirsty, more than likely, I already inside a dehydration.
Yeah, internally. So, you know, make sure you have water. Water could be the bottle. It could be a little cup like what you have there with you. And you make sure most people at work, they have like the water coolers, you know. And when you pass the water cooler, make a point that, you know, you get some from in a cup, or make sure you fill your bottle so many times a day, right? You want to drink good and adequate supplies of water. And I'm just saying, this isn't for people who have issues with their kidney, with their liver, or with their heart. You may want to check, you know, you may be on some sort of restriction. question if those organs are not before you do any program in any event. But water, not juice, right? Not soda. You know, I like that. Cool.
I like how you put it. So if you're thirsty, don't be drinking no juice and no soda.
No, because that's a lot of sugar. Mm-hmm. One can of soda, the ordinary can, has 17 teaspoonfuls of sugar in it, 1/7. Right? One can of soda. That's what it has. Juice probably has something like 10 to 15. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be drinking a lot of sugar with your water because then you're defeating the purpose. You know, you want to drink water that is there. That's what you want to do from that perspective. So after we talk about exercise, diet, rest, sunshine and water, another thing you want to do is, I say, supplementation. Most of us do not eat a diet that is organic and rounded. You're supposed to really eat anything from 5 to 9 servings of fruit and vegetables a day. The FDA, I think it was in the 70s, maybe the 90s, they were saying, they actually agreed that you did need to supplement. Because in many...
I want to pause you there, right? Because now you're talking vitamins, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to know how important having supplements and vitamins in a regular person's diet.
So if I were like, I don't know, some sort of superstar or something like that, or someone living on the island, if I'm living on the island and what I'm growing is organic stuff, it's coming organically, I'm living a very unstressed, unhurried, organic type of life, then probably I don't need to have vitamins.
And I can slow you down again. If I'm living that family island life where I'm eating these rainbow type food with all vegetables and stuff like that, not stress free, you know, not that leisure driving up and down,
you should probably be okay. But for most of us, that's not the case. And even people on the family islands, I've visited some of them, they look more and more like Nassau every day.
They stress out.
And you are not. And the food that we get, and this thing with the food is a very important point. That's a whole show by itself, you know. But the food that we are getting to us, because we are not growing our food, we are importing food. Mm-hmm. And that has several implications, especially with the prices, you know. You know, I've gone with people to the food, different food establishments here. And when you have to import your vegetables and other things, you don't have much control over where they're grown, you know, the soil they're grown in, whether they're using, because the vegetables and fruits are taken up. Nutrients from the soil. And then when we eat them, we should then get those nutrients back into our bodies. But if the food that you are getting, the soil is nutrient poor, you're not going to get that push in there. You see what I'm saying? And you don't have any control over that. So unless it's an organic food, is very expensive. You know, it's even more expensive than the ordinary one. So what I'm saying is that if you know that yourself and you know, okay, you know, many people don't like green stuff. They'll tell you, I don't like that green thing. Man, give me some potato, give me some plantain. So if you know that is yourself and you are deficient in eating those fruits and vegetables, then taking a boost of the, especially the immune boosting supplements, is good for you. So those are, vitamin C is a powerful antioxidant, very, very important in the processing of our immune system's ability to protect ourselves. Vitamin D, D as in dog, right? Again, we get that from the sunshine, but vitamin D is very important in the way in which our immune system, especially our white blood cells, the cells charged with defending our body system, moves to kill invaders, right? We need vitamin B complex. B complex is one of the most important vitamins, again, for immune function, but also for the ways in which we get energy out of our food. Right? So a lot of the times you'll find if you're deficient or low in vitamin B, those vitamins, you feel tired, you feel dragged down, you're not feeling good. And then some other basic antioxidants such as zinc and selenium, which are more like trace minerals and trace elements that you would have in place, right? But they are also needed as well, too. And in addition to those things, a general all wrong, if you get to, I focus on those, right? Because those are some of the ones that if you're getting sick or ill, you take those up, you boost yourself up, that is going to help you recover a lot more quickly. And there are other supplements that you can use and look for and look towards as well.
That sounds like a lot of pills. Is there one? I just say, hey, take this one.
Yeah, sometimes you can. There are many different ones. There are some that you can look for that may have it included all together.
Yeah.
Right, but normally what you need in terms of the daily supplementation and what you may need to help immune building is different. And most of us are... Because, you know, your immune system, everybody's immune system is not the same. Mm-hmm. If you have a chronic health condition, diabetes, hypertension, chronic inflammation, it means your immune system is a bit more under attack as well. The other important point to note with the food is that we need to eat for our gut bacteria. Inside of us, we have a whole world of viruses, bacteria, microbiological agents, which really and truly what they do, we call that the biome. And it's the health of that microbiome or the bacteria in your gut, which determines your the health of the immune system and the overall immunity. People found that when you were talking about in COVID times, and even people who have cancer, there was a notable shift in the type of the quote-unquote good bacteria as compared to the bad bacteria in your gut. And when you had more good bacteria, the type like what you get from things like fermented foods, things like from the cabbages, we don't really eat that much yet, but from yogurt, you know, lactobacillus and bifidobacillus, these are the good quote-unquote bacteria, which help because they keep check of the not-so-good bacteria, the bad bacteria. And these bacteria also help train our immune system, the cells of our immune system, into protecting us. So they're noting that. So people talk about when you eat the right type of food, it provides fiber, provides the sort of nutrient source for these good bacteria. So fiber is like your prebiotic that you would take. And then these probiotics, they're going to help you, because if you don't take supplements and you don't have those good bacteria, you end up getting issues with infection, right? Mm-hmm. And when you get infected more easily, then you're now talking about taking antibiotics, which are like your penicillin and your amoxicillin. Mm-hmm. But when you have to take those things to combat infection, you're also killing, it's like you throw bleach on everything, it kills everything, good and bad bacteria.
Wait, penicillin kills bacteria? I mean, it kills infection, but it kills good bacteria.
Yeah, it kills your good bacteria. That's why a lot of ladies, and I don't know if you may know that, but a lot of ladies, whenever they take antibiotics or something, they normally have to take a yeast, anti-yeast, an antifungal.
Yes, because
what happens, the antibiotics kills the whatever it is it's supposed to kill. It kills the bad bacteria, but it kills the good bacteria, including the ones down in the genital area.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you have that good bacteria going, then your yeast, which is there and other things, have more chance to multiply. So think about that. So that's why now you lose one problem, but you end up with another. No. So this is the thing.
I have a text here saying, is it, basically to you, I guess, is it correct that the darker your skin pigmentation is, the less vitamin D is absorbed?
The darker the skin pigmentation, the less vitamin D. So the skin pigmentation is a situation looking at melanin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has, melanin is a pigment produced by people who have been exposed to sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why people who have more melanin, people always look at it and say, no, it's a brain, whatever. No, it's basically geography and protection. The people who come from places where you have a lot of sun tend to have a lot more melanin in them.
Mm-hmm.
So those of us who come from or have sub-Saharan Africa, we are going to have more melanin. People who come from, the Swedish people and people from Norway, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, they don't have as much sunshine, so they don't need as much. And then in between, you have the brown looks of people. So people look at it and say that if you have vitamin D, melanin is going to tend to be more absorptive of that particular sunlight, because it's a dark pigment at the end of the time, and therefore you would tend to make more vitamin D than, let's say, a person who is fairer skinned or fairer complexion. But it's not quite as simple as that to say. So the question was, they were saying if you have more vitamin D, if you have more melanin, you're not going to absorb as much vitamin D or make as much vitamin D. No, so it's actually the converse situation that you would find, because the melanin would tend to absorb the sunlight into your skin more. More sunlight would equate to making or manufacturing more vitamin D. So there were some people saying, well, black people really didn't need to take vitamin D because they were making enough in their skin. But that's not quite the case. So you still have to, the best thing to do is to check your levels, basically. But you have a good idea because, again, most of us, whether we light or dark, we don't like being in sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
We tend not to want to go there. So, the best thing you could probably do if you wanted to find that out would be to check your level. But then at the same time, you have a good idea as to whether or not you are having that. So eating things that would help you with those foods and so would probably be one of the better things.
Okay, we're about to soon take a break, but we're talking to Dr. Susan Lockhart, and we're talking about how to keep healthy during the holidays, and we're just creating a list of things that we need to do in order to keep healthy. She mentioned diet, she mentioned exercise, she mentioned vitamin D, she mentioned rest, right? And we're going through everything and trying to explain that, but we're on the next side of the break, we go in more detail. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri, and we're talking to Dr. Lockhart, and we continue that conversation on the other side of the break.
Mm-hmm.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Here we go.
J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. Johnson Insurance has the test, always. You're always covering me. JSJ. S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio in the AM. And we're talking to Dr. Susan Lockhart, and we're trying to stay healthy during this Yuletide season, during this last 5 days, this march towards Christmas. And of course, when Christmas time, we tend to become carefree. It's part of cultural. We tend to shed our defensiveness, you know, as we share that happy feeling, the spirit of giving during this time. And of course, we tend to go to a number of parties. And parties is what we do. We go to banquets, we go to restaurants. And I wanted to speak to the doctor about, is COVID still here? Just the other day, I went to a Dash and Dine. The Kiwanis had a Dash and Dine where you just go to different spots and take advantage of the food. It was excellent, right? And as I was there, one of my colleagues, one of my friends, one of my family members called me back after the experience and said, oh, by the way, I have COVID. I said, man, COVID gone. What you mean you have COVID? So I just letting you know, because we know we hug each other. And I said, Lord, yes, I did hug you, right? But COVID's still a thing, doctor?
Yeah, COVID is still a thing. It's very much there, you know. I mean, I think that most people have been exposed to COVID right now, you know.
I'm of carefree now. I let you cough without getting concerned. So, yeah, cough all you want.
Still, they are very much the case. You know, what has happened is that although many people, as I said, either were vaccinated or they've been exposed to COVID through either themselves or other people having it, mm-hmm. you still have the variants that are coming, you know. COVID tends to adapt itself, and so you have the variants. There was the BA5, now it's the XXB. The BAQ1, you know, there are many other types that we may not have been exposed to. So when you're not exposed to something, you may get it. Now, it may not cause you to react, or you may not get a severe case of it as if you were not a previously unexposed population. But the situation is that it's still there. People, especially those who have immunocompromised scenarios, as I said, those who are older, the mm-hmm. extremes of age, the very old, the very young, people who may have diabetes, hypertension, cholesterol, obesity, any of those things. All right. If you have any sort of chronic disease, chronic mm-hmm. non-communicable diseases, kidney diseases, liver diseases, cancer, mm-hmm. you have to still be careful, you know. So I tell to people, you know, just be sensible about it. Right. Most people are not masking up when they go into places. But, you know, if you know that, OK, you normally live in a place with 5 people, but 25 people are coming over and you have someone either present or who you're going back home to who has one of those conditions, then maybe you want to maybe consider maybe putting a mask on.
So. I want you to hash this out. I'm going to dinner to, what should I look out for? Should I say, going to a party, let's change to the party. Should I look for an outdoor venue?
Yeah, I think too that if people have indoor seating, but also where you have outdoor seating as well, you know, and I would say to people, have it so that, you know, open up the house. You know, mm-hmm. we like air conditioned sometimes and different situations like that. We close the house, the windows and doors. And no, have it open. Have as much ventilation possible as is possible. And make the stuff, instead of having the sort of buffet style where each of us have to handle the implements to get our food, make it grab and go. You know, as you said, dash and dine. Put it, package it together.
And explain grab and go in contrast to buffet style, so I can understand exactly.
So when you say buffet style, normally you have all the food, like you have the open. Everything open, laid yes. out, and then you go, you take up the spoon.
By myself.
And then the next person will come, take up the spoon and serve it. So you have a lot of handling or a lot of touching via the spoon. The spoon is something that the servant implement is something we are all touching and looking for, mm-hmm. right? So if you're looking at that, then that is the problem. And so that could, you know, transmit itself. Even if you have people, you might have hand sanitizer there or so to help people sanitize their hands before that situation, you know, develops. Just, you know, make it easy. Pre-package everything, you know, pre-package, put the food together in a plate, cover it down in plastic so people know what they're getting. You know, you have it saying, okay, this is that, the dessert. So then you don't have as much handling and congregation potentially. So that's another
and
thing.
And let me have ideas of what they never thought about, right? So besides having the buffet, perhaps have one person serve all the food or pre-package, like you said.
Yeah, that's right. Have some one person serve the food, you know, so that one person is just, you know, labeling it out. But, okay. you know, if everybody wants to have a chance, normally do the buffet because then everybody after they cook want to sit down. They
yes.
don't want to be up there serving. Yes. So maybe have those who prepare and those who set up and those who serve. So everybody, you kind of like share that out a little bit more evenly.
You mentioned hand sanitizers also before you
yeah,
started.
Yeah, so you know, it's probably not a bad idea that before people start handling or eating or going around together, you sanitize your hands. Because you know, people, or even because normally when you greet somebody now, we're shaking hands,
yes.
you know, we're hugging, we're doing other things. So maybe at the door, you still, if it's a still event happening, you still have that in place together, you know.
You also mentioned open room or outside.
Yeah, outside or open the room up for ventilation. Put a fan in there, open up the windows, you know, let the breeze or the wind blow through. You're having things by the seaside is particularly a good idea to be able to do that as well. So from that perspective, it's great to be able to do it as well too.
And you mentioned to be aware that COVID still is
yeah,
here.
Yeah, still here. You know, we may not be testing fit and we may not have the response to it because most of us have been exposed or have had it before. So, you know, even if you get COVID, it may just be like a very bad flu, which I think at the end of the day, it probably will turn out towards being, you know. But it's not just COVID. There's RSV. There's the normal flu, the H2N3 that we have. There's other things that are going around seasonally. So just be aware and be careful. And if you have little old people, you know, you have your little 90 or 80-something-year-old Grammy home or you have her there at the event, well, you know, limit her exposure too.
Limit exposure.
So she's going to get, you know, the thing is people were talking about it. In the years that there was COVID, there was no sort of like flu situation mm-hmm. because people want to get her to give the flu, to pass the flu on. Not that people
and we all wear masks.
Yeah, now people have come back in. Now everything is coming back. So those things haven't gone anywhere. The flu is still here every year. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, time period, you limit. And people could make a decision. Some people take the flu vaccine. Some people don't, you know, as I said. I used to take that. Some people wouldn't do that because of, again, of your exposure and stuff like that. So you have to sit down and make good decisions for yourself and your family. That's one of the things that I think.
And you mentioned remind people to wear their masks too inside this environment.
Yeah, if you have a lot more people than you're normally going to be in contact with, you know, if you have a lot, like if you know you're going inside and it's going to be an inside thing and normally there are 5 of you in there, but you're going to have 25, 30, 40 people, might be a bad idea to just put the mask on. You know, especially as I said, if you have an issue or you're going back home to someone who has an issue at the same point in time. You see what I'm saying to you? So from that perspective, you're going to have that type of that situation there.
And so, Dr. Lockhart, you're a Caribbean person.
Mm-hmm.
You know about these natural medicines and which one, as I said, not recommend, which one you take? especially during this time, it's Christmas. You say, what would you say?
I like ginger and I like turmeric. Ginger has, and it helps a lot. Ginger along with onion and garlic, they have something in it called anacin, which is what causes that to have that pungent tell and smell. That's also thought to be antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, antiviral as well also too. I like using tea tree oil to put in hand sanitizers and on anything because that tends to kill germs, you know, and even if you spray it down, that tells to kill germs very well and naturally. Simple things like salt and vinegar, white vinegar, mm-hmm. you know, for your sprays around your home. Anything at the extremes of pH is going to help to kill. So those are some of the things that I like to use. You know, if I find myself feeling a little bit fluey or fluish, I normally would tend to get lemon and ginger, onion and garlic and
mix it.
It's
a concoction. So yeah. I know you don't want to give your secret recipe out, but just for the listening audience.
No, I just take raw ginger. I slice that. I slice raw ginger, slice some onion, slice some garlic, put some...
That's a salad, man.
Yeah, well, basically, that's why you eat that, too. Put some onion, put some apple cider vinegar and then some lemon or lime juice over it. And it really and truly what you get with that is when you take that, and I'll just sit and I'll just have that. I'll just eat that as a little, like a little relish or something like that. Mm-hmm. When you eat raw ginger, you actually get the sense of it all going up into your sinuses, yes, everything else like that as well. And it's really good for anti-inflammatory. If you're having any sort of nose congestion or throat, irritation.
Okay, so salt, you're feeling water, fluish. You haven't got the flu yet.
But you're, no, up salt water. 8 ounces of water and 2-3 tablespoons of salt and gargle that. That every 3 hours, every 4 hours, and keep on doing that. Put that, some of that in your nose, or best bet, go in the sea. I know Baymans don't like to go in the sea after October.
All right, cool.
Yeah, you go in the sea and, you know, that washes everything through. But you have to be, the most important thing is that if you start feeling something, don't just, you know, ignore it. Start to do something about it as well. Yeah. Start to do something about it, especially if you know that, you know, I was at that luncheon or I was by this friend who was sneezing or something like that. Chances are it may be something that I have, you know? So these are some of the things that you want to be cognizant of and do. And then also I would tell people, just relax, you know, take a load off. Oh my goodness.
Relax. Rest is important.
Yeah, and you know, just, you know, it's the first Christmas after, you know, people want to go out to jungle.
You
they
know
want to
how
to
much
party.
Parties I go on to already? I have every day is a different party.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, sometimes you don't have to go to everything. You know, you can get one or two and miss at the end of the day. That's what you could do at the end of the time.
I have a friend who wants to go to jungle.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, jungle now, everybody come in. You know, they say they come in, and that's what they're doing. You know, I see the billboard sign with the bear saying they're scared, you know, so I know that that's one group telling another group, you know, you're scared of becoming. And I guess you have to be aware. My concern with that is like safety concerns, and I'd probably be guided by some of the people in law enforcement. Probably for me, I would probably, if I were going, I'd probably go on the stands, you know, because then less people, less of that sort of pushing and crowd and everything else like that.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about health awareness and going to the Junkanoo Parade.
Yeah.
What things would you recommend?
Boy, again, a mask, you know, although it's out, but if you go, because, you know, there's a point in time where you're in that push of people trying to get into the front to see, you know, and everybody is there. When I've been to that before, you know, so you want to catch.
So you go to jungle with a mask for sure, especially in the transition of going
to
the
when you're going in through this, when you get to where you're going or you meet your spot, because it's an open outdoor place, but where you have that crush and that push of people, definitely, I would say that's what you want to do. And just be aware, you know, when you're going out there for your own physical safety, you know, if you're going out on the road as well, that could be very heady, you know, you're there with your group and everything. But you have to be aware of, you know, there may be some people who may not be as well-intentioned as you are. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I would say carry water, carry liquids. Because
carry water.
Yeah, because you can't always get access to vendor stuff depending upon where you're located. Get some good rest, you know, before you go. You know, I wouldn't tell you go from the day then into the night and don't. Because, you know, when you go to jungle, you're not coming back home until early. Some people stay until the last.
That's 9, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock.
And so therefore you pull morning, as the people say. So you want to really have your situation there in terms of how you want it to be and how you want it to go.
What about sanitizer? Because, you know, every so often I got to use that party toilet.
Oh, boy, yeah. And I would say carry wipes, you know, that you could use, because that already has the water in it. Some baby wipes, you could even put on your baby wipes in a plastic baggie, throw some hand sanitizer in it, you know, not that you're going to use on yourself, but, you know, you can carry the wipes and you could use those plain, and then some for your hands, use that and have hand.
For us people who don't squat, you know, who have to sit completely down, physically down.
Oh, Lord. Well, you have to think that over and to wipe maybe the area before, you know, maybe carry
wipes.
Yeah, you know, that's what I would say. And some, you know, some sanitary or something that you can utilize as well. Because, you know, these are just things. And this is the time where for 3 years now, we haven't really had the celebration. So now we have to run into it. And, you know, people are going to be very enthusiastic, I think.
Yes, yes.
So you want to make sure that you have yourself and your family protected as well as you can.
Because I expect huge crowds.
Well, this is the thing. So people normally were saying that after crowds like that, that's when you would expect to see an uptick in a lot of different things. Crime and then infection and different things like that. So, you know, some people go, some people don't. You know, some people say, okay, I can go in the stands and go early and I can leave early before they start, you know, so I could see it, but I'm in and out. You have to have your strategy as to what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. However that may be for you, is what you want to do. You know, but one thing though, I wanted to get back around to that issue of the thing with vitamin D.
Right.
The person that asked me that night, a little bit confused in my enthusiasm to answer it. but I checked it up. And actually, we do, because the thing is, as I said, melanin is made by cells called melanocytes. Okay. The more melanin you have in your body, the darker or browner you're going to be as compared to someone else. And melanin is really there to protect you against the rays of the sun, the ultraviolet A and B sun rays. And it's found that with black people, and yes, I would have to agree with the question. I think I kind of lost my way there a little bit. That what they were saying, that yes, with black people, they may tend to have less of a vitamin D response because they don't, melanin actually, it absorbs what it blocks it from. By absorbing it, mm-hmm. it blocks the rays from getting to those cells that have the cholesterol in it. So therefore, your vitamin D processing is going to be lower. So
black people need vitamin D.
Yes, they do. And And what they were saying is that they were thinking that this might be the reason why some of black people who are transplanted, let's say in the northern states, mm-hmm. they were found like in the northern, up in the north, not like the Florida area, mm-hmm. but like up in the north, you're talking about like New York, Rhode Island. They found that their levels of vitamin D were a lot lower than the levels of people of other races. And it has to do with the climate and the environment, right? That's not an environment that black people are quote-unquote native to, right? There may also be some economic situation there because your level of nutrients is also depending upon your level of ability to buy good food, food of good quality, right? And that may not always be the case. In many black communities, you have food deserts where you have this cheap pre-packed plastic food, especially at this time of the year, and not that fresh stuff that you can have. So, yes, so in fact, so let me correct it, and my apology to the person who
I appreciate you even just looking up at it to make sure.
Yeah, no, because I was like, okay, what am I saying there with that, right? And yes, it does. And so there's a high prevalence sometimes of vitamin D deficiency in black people, you know? Especially depending upon where you are going to be living. So we do have, so that makes it even more opportune that we should look at supplementation. And if we could, get a level done, because you can assess your levels by doing a blood test is what you can do, all right? And it was thought that some many things that we have, they were talking about it, and this was a study published in PubMed, who was published in this article in the National Center for Biotech, the National Library of Medicine. And what they were saying here, and this was a journal made by the nutritionists, and they were saying that many diseases that they had, you know, adverse pregnancy outcome, cancer, diabetes, asthma, COPD, COVID-19, rickets, all right? And they were said this was mostly found to be prevalent around people with high levels of melanin or dark-skinned people living at higher latitudes and places where you did not have as much sunshine as you might have other places.
I have another question for you, Dr. Lockhart. It says, morning, CA and Dr. Susanna. Because veggies and fruits are so expensive, is it safe for me to get my vitamins and minerals from protein shakes, wild spinach, and ZMA capsules?
Boy, so proteins and shakes are good. I don't know what ZMA, what they said, or enzyme, are those enzymes?
Don't know. Okay, I guess know. Just want to know if they get a substitute from fruits.
So you should try the first bastion of that is we talked about it as supplementation. So supplementation means in addition to. It's not you're drinking it. It's not as if you're an astronaut and that's the only way you're going to get. You know, you're getting it from just using other things. Protein shakes, as I said, are good in addition to, but you're expensive. Like I know lettuce is $6 or $12 in the store, yes, depending upon when you go to.
$15.
Right, but maybe you might have instead of that, you could try what we call, maybe there might be kale, you know?
It smells. I just tried, but the wife just tried this kale thing on me and it smells. I'm just letting you know, it smells.
Put the kale, and you know what you can do instead? Put the kale inside of, bake it. Try baking it. Okay. And seeing bacon and salt, you can make like kale chips with it, right? Okay. And I saw you're going to have to do something, right? That's the thing about it. We also have the green bushes. We may have some green bushes. People can grow those bushes at the end of the time period. I'm trying to think about it. What is it? We in Trinidad, we call it Callaloo bush, but it's another bush here. They call it another name here. Oh, Lord. That just went from my head.
I know what Callaloo is, so I like Callaloo.
Yeah, so Callaloo, it's a green bush. Green bush. That grows everywhere.
Everywhere, right? Wild, yeah?
Yeah, and that's what, and be inventive. Some people, sometimes some of the bushes that come from the sweet potato, some of the bushes that come from the top of the carrot, mm-hmm. you know, those are, you can eat those greens.
Yeah.
So greens are not only the things that you get in the, so think about that because, you know, and consider, and I mean, it's not in time for Christmas, but consider planting, replanting your veggies. Mm-hmm. You know, the tops of stuff. When you cut off the green onion or garlic, put it in some water and in some, and you will have in 5 weeks or so, you would have a plan that you can utilize.
So we have 2 minutes now, Dr. Lockhart. Where can we find you again?
So 806-0199 is the best bet for me. Right.
Do it again. The number?
806-0199. That's Capriata Health and Wellness. And you can either text or you can look for me also on Facebook.
We and have you're a different type page. Of doctor. You are like a concierge. You call in, book and they come
to
the house.
Yeah, I book and I call. I'll come to their house. I'll talk to them on the phone. Sometimes people just want help with navigating a healthcare system. You know, either one of the hospitals that we have, or I'm good at sort of like putting, sometimes people are seeing 8 and 7 doctors and I have the ability because I've been here so long to talk to them and sort of pull together a comprehensive plan. People sometimes get afraid. And I always tell people I like educated patients. It's not my disease that I'm treating you for. When you tell them, well, what's happening with you? Well, the doctor had me on these 3 tablets. No, you have to own your health and own the treatment therein as well, I do believe.
And where on social media can find you again? You say
so, Capriata Health and Wellness Facebook, right? You can send us an email. We have those as well, Capriata Health and Wellness at Gmail. So, you know, we're there. And I just wish everybody a happy and a healthy season. And, you know, listen, we didn't put on the 10 pounds or the 15 or the 50 pounds in 2 weeks or in 5 days. So we're not going to lose Christmas or the New Year's Day ball. But if you even manage to lose 1 pound, or even if you manage to exercise every day for 15 minutes, that's progress. If you manage to drink 8 glasses of water instead of, or even if you cut back on drinking 5 sodas and you drink 2, you know, that is progress. So don't beat up yourself. And remember, take it easy. Be kind to yourself and other people because it could be a very tough time for many of us.
Good. Thank you very much. I was speaking to Dr. Suzanne Lockhart. And we're just talking about wellness during the Christmas, during the Yuletide season. What tips could we use and take advantage of? I know that's why she went in detail to say, well, we can help ourselves. God helps those who help themselves. Wishing everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Tomorrow I'm on again with Erin Green. We're giving them more gift and giveaways tomorrow as we come down to Christmas. And also I've opened up my Thursday show to continue with the gifts and giveaways. Anyway, we're going now. Bye-bye.